Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't really think about it. I knew I was going to come out here and work. I don't owe it to nobody but my teammates and myself and my family. So by me participating, showing my teammates that I love the game and I'm willing to be out here.
Bills running back James Cook, no hold in, no hold out, practicing in full. And he was very candid yesterday in his appearance to the media there. You heard it there and just in that clip, you know, really holding in was never an option. Holding out was never an option. He also, though, did mention that, you know, he wants to get paid. He thinks he will get paid, whether it be in Buffalo or whether it be somewhere else. And I'm a very big fan of athletes being candid. I've talked about that with Scottie Scheffler, different circumstances, but him being very open about how he feels about like his legacy with golf, and he doesn't, you know, identify himself as a golfer. It's just a thing he does that makes him money. I like that Cook is being very candid. And now I think you can comfortably, whenever Cook speaks, whenever he says something, you can kind of take him at his word. And that's not always true with athletes. That's not always true with public figures. You know, there is that sort of PR training that one has to go through when you get put into the public spotlight. But Cook, I think, actually, you know, for as little we hear him speak, really balances it well. He doesn't give you too much to where you're going, maybe wouldn't have done that, wouldn't have said that. But he doesn't give you so little or give you the same cookie cutter answers that you'd expect that make you go, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't really care. I'm not going to learn anything. I think you learned a lot listening. I think he only spoke for about 5.5 minutes. I think you learned quite a bit about where James Cook's mindset is at.
Yes. And again, it is a consistent message. He wants to get paid. He feels like he's worth a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that message has been there. It has been clear. You and I have talked about this week of how admirable it has been that he has shown the team route despite, you know, his desires. But he has been consistent with that messaging too of, I do want to get paid. Be it here or elsewhere, that's what I would want. I would like to be in Buffalo, the quarterback, the team, everything like that, the roster, like everything does jive pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But if he gets that contract elsewhere, if the Bills cannot afford to keep him, which also Brandon Bean mentions a little bit of this week at the start of training camp.
Yep.
And it's something that I'd imagine in closed doors has been kind of the message. I don't know if we can afford it.
Yeah, we'd love to keep you here, man. We really would. Just don't know if we're going to be able to do it. But you deserve to get your bag. And I think as well, too, there might be a positive to this of like, it's also a position, you know, in a way that may not hurt the team going to the draft in like the second or third round.
And it is also an amicable.
Especially when you've helped out the offensive line so much.
And it's also an amicable ending,
mm-hmm.
kind of. Like it seems like both sides have come to this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we aren't in the negotiations. We don't know. But based off the situation, the fact that a contract is not done, kind of effectively tells you the story, if you're able to read the tea leaves on this,
mm-hmm.
that it seems like both player and team have this understanding. And all you want to do is get through the season. Both of you benefit from another good season from Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then, however, the dice roll from there is where they roll.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Some notes from practice today. I'm seeing this from Alex Brasky, friend of the show. Offense seems to be actually having a very good day. Josh Allen in particular having a very good day, finding Coleman over the middle. He's had some nice hits to Dalton Kincaid, Josh Palmer, and Elijah Moore. Although his two misses, two interceptions, come from the same player, Taylor Rapp. Having himself a very nice day, which could be big. I mean, it does sound like it has been Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp as the two starting safeties. If you can get a really good season out of Rapp, especially if he's maybe more in the – and, you know, Derek, you mentioned this, maybe more into his natural role.
Yes, and I also – maybe, though, maybe good it's spot. – maybe he also might be the player that we all assumed that they could see him as
mm-hmm.
when he initially signed
yeah.
from the Rams. He was seen almost as like this heir apparent, so to say, from Hayden Poyer.
Yeah, he took like a smaller deal just to get in the building, and then it was like, okay.
Okay, you're going to be our...
Once the year's done, he's coming.
You're going to be one of our guys going forward here. And he was not necessarily known as a pure thumper.
Mm-hmm.
He showed that when he got here. But I do think, yeah, he does make plays from time to time. I just would love to see him not... hit somebody so hard that it takes himself out of the lineup. Like, that's all I need to see.
Yeah.
And if he is the guy that plays up top, for example, like I was speculating yesterday, maybe Cole Bishop is the guy that, you know, is the range type, and then you can put Rapp in the box. Maybe it is the opposite.
Maybe. We'll see. I think they're going to have a fun year on defense just with the additions they've made on the defensive line and in the secondary. And I do mean that. I think they could have a really fun year. I'm excited to see what Bobby Babbage can do in year two as a defensive coordinator. Now with more, I would just say, straight up help on the defensive side of the ball. I think that they were really at times last year, maybe more often than not, they ran into a talent issue on defense. They just did not have the guys to play defense the way they wanted to. With that being said, though, Sean McDermott defenses will take the ball away. And that really helped them in a lot of areas. They were not a great run-stopping defense. They were not a great third-down defense. But they were able to sustain themselves off of, yeah, but we're going to take the ball away. And I think Bobby Babbage today was wearing a hat that said take the ball or get the ball, whatever it was. And so it's kind of going off of the saying for the offense of everybody eats. You know, the defense kind of has their own. But now with the additions on the defensive line, it also sounds like Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa are having a great day. And Babbage, I think, even mentioned outright that Bosa is a three-down player. They're just going to more kind of play with his reps and how they're going to do that. That'll be interesting to see.
Maybe it's a drive-by-drive situation.
Right, exactly. And so I've said a lot the last few weeks. If they can get immediate good, not great, but good play out of guys like TJ Sanders and Max Harrison, or if Trey White really is a really good solid CB2 and they can kind of bring Harrison along a little bit slower, they could have a lot of fun on defense this year. I think there's been a lot of times in the past few years the defense has not had the talent that you'd maybe want, and we haven't really gotten to see McDermott maybe flex his defensive muscles as much. But even with some limited talent, some injuries, they still get turnovers. They're still a good enough unit. They do fall apart in the playoffs. That is not an aberration. That is a normality for them more often than not. But if you can have talent that is healthy at the end of the year, and that's where I bring up the one seed a lot, I would like to see, like, does McDermott maybe have a Spags-type, you know, playbook in his head that he can just pull up and you know, kind of unleash the dogs a little bit. It is a lot of times in the playoffs, it's felt like they can't.
The other thing about it is that turnovers are not supposed to be something you can like rely on a year-to-year basis. But what do the Bills do almost every year?
Yeah, they kind of rely on them.
It's not even rely on them. They get them.
Yeah, it just works. They're
it just
fine.
Happens. It keeps happening, which might say something a little bit against the grain of what you're trying to say about like they do lack that pure talent sort of thing. I think, though, that it turns into the depth. And last year, we did have a little bit more depth to the Bills' defense. We saw it. It's just, it wasn't enough. And there's a difference between having depth within your regular season and depth against, well, quite frankly, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you look at this team and you go, turnovers are not supposed to be something you can replicate year in and year out. But the Bills seem to buck that trend, that saying, and really kind of turn around and say, we can do it. Because oftentimes, what are the Bills at the end of the day? They're a bend-don't-break type defense. They'll let you get some chunkage in terms of yards, but then they lock it down in the situations that they need to the most. There's just one moment every year that it doesn't happen that way.
It's the playoff games they lose.
It's painful. It is painful to see that that's how it goes. But it's not anything that, like, I don't know. Maybe you can go ahead and look at it. It is tight. It's kind of their identity. Get the turnovers. Cause a big play. Mm-hmm. Allow the offense to be able to dominate. And you turn a game into, well, not really much of a game anymore. Or you put it away in your favor.
Yeah.
It is fascinating that this Bills team, even with talent changing through, and it's not as strong as it used to be with the top end skill, how do you deal with that? How do you survive that? Well, you get some turnovers.
Well, and it's the great equalizer for them.
It's the great equalizer.
The problem is, though, that runs out in the playoffs.
And
Mahomes has never thrown a pick against them in the playoffs.
And if you have one game where you don't get those turnovers, it becomes devastating for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you live by the sword. Hey, here comes the die by the sword part.
And that's where I get excited about the additions to the defensive line. I do like seeing that Rousseau and Bosa are eating today, or that Rapp is kind of all around. Bishop looks more comfortable, that kind of stuff. Because then if you have the natural talent plus the addition of those turnovers, then you should be fine. I mean, like, I say it a lot now, but if their defense is better, if their defensive line is better than last year, they're a Super Bowl team. Maybe not Super Bowl winning. We'll see what comes out of the NFC, because we saw what Philadelphia looked like by the end of the year. But they should make it to the Super Bowl. All they need is three or four plays across an entire game against Mahomes, and they win. The problem is against that team in particular in the playoffs, they get none of those plays. The Chiefs' offense couldn't score 30 points all year. But in that one game, because they're awful against the Eagles in 2 weeks at the Super Bowl. But against that team in particular, they pop off. No issues. Worthy's all over the place. And then Kelsey looks pretty good. And the run game's good. Everything worked for him.
Juju Smith-Schuster's randomly making plays.
On that day, it worked for him. And that just happens so often. And that's where, for me, this is also the second or even maybe third time they've had to really redo this defensive line. You hope now, finally, something has clicked, that Sanders comes in and hits. Rousseau takes that step forward. Ed Oliver finds some consistency. But we'll see. I'm excited, but it is tough for me to totally buy in, because we've been down this road before, and then there really isn't that pop play. Like, I like that they're going to promote a lot of these guys on Hard Knocks. I'm excited for that. The guys like Christian Benford are going to get their promotions, and they should. But there does have to be, not Chris Jones himself, but there's got to be a player that in those big moments steps up. You had that for a half a season with Von Miller when you first got him.
Correct.
He won you the Chiefs game at the end.
He won you the Chiefs game
in
the regular season, yes.
He did exactly what you needed him to do in the regular season. He won it for you. And they just do not get that from anybody but their quarterback in those games. And that is what happened. Aaron Schatz had a stats. He was down with Mina Kimes from ESPN, through the Bills. It's them for the last 5 years, and the Ravens for the last 5 years. The best teams to not win a Super Bowl based off his stats.
And I think I saw it was like a top 10 like DVOA of teams that haven't won the Super Bowl, and it's like 4 year pockets. The Bills and Ravens are on there twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we mentioned the turnover thing of like how it shouldn't be replicated. Like, it's not something that could be capable of being replicated. Zach, since 2020, they've been either third or fourth.
Yeah.
Their lowest point in terms of turnovers ranked across the league since Sean McDermott has been here, 10th in 2019. That's the worst that they've done at acquiring and taking away the football. It is getting to a point where, like, this should not be something easily replicated. And the Bills go, yeah, so? And all it takes, though, and this is why the playoffs are a problem, It is one game. If you don't get them in one game, you're cooked. How do they beat Baltimore?
Well, I mean, straight up.
It is
turnovers. Baltimore is a better team than them on paper, but on that day, they turned the ball over a lot.
They turned the ball over 3 times.
And even then, it still almost led to them losing. Baltimore turned the ball over a ton. I think, what, 3 or 4 times?
It was 3 times.
3 times. And it still came down to just a drop pass from that game going to overtime. And I said a lot last year that that team was kind of punching above its pay grade, but it kind of didn't matter. Like, just get to the end. You got the quarterback. You're fine. The turnovers were working. But that's, I mean, it's where it leads me to getting nervous is, yeah, because they got all the turnovers there. But if they didn't, Baltimore had no problem moving the ball down the field on them. I mentioned it a lot that the Mark Andrews fumble is an easy first down.
And the 2023-24 season is where, like, they are banged up to oblivion. A.J. Klein obviously plays in that game in the divisional round against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is a team that they needed to be able to take the ball away. That was something like they had to rely on it because they were banged up. They were a team that was getting beaten down. They gave up a game-winning drive to the Patriots with Mac Jones dealing the football. Like, mm-hmm. They were really beaten up. They had to be able to take the ball away. Otherwise, that defense would have been, throughout the entirety of the season, a problem child for them. They give 470-plus yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something where, yeah, they actually needed it that year because the health was a problem. Now, it's still the same thing. Can you, with some of these new additions, though, add a little bit more on the high end of talent for this team? Because if you have to rely on the turnovers, all it takes is one bad game, one efficient game from another team, from a top-end team, mm-hmm. in the postseason.
Which you will get.
Which you get with Kansas City. They may have been unspectacular last year on defense, on offense, but they don't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you will get beaten down in that point.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. George is up first today. George, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to be a little more specific in that I think this shows up on the whiffs that the general mm-hmm. manager has made in with his first and second picks on defense.
Yeah, I think absolutely, George. I think that is absolutely correct to bring up. Because you look at it, too, like Ed Oliver is a top 15 pick. He is simply not consistent enough. You need often for him to be at his best a big guy next to him. Elam is a flat-out miss. And to the point where when he was traded this offseason, the fact that you got a seventh?
Any sort of pick for him.
Anything for him was a cause for celebration. I like Greg Rousseau, but he has not transformed into that 12.5, 13 sack guy, top 10 in every pass rushing category. He is top 25 in most of them, but he was a first round pick with elite physical traits, it appeared. He should do that. Epinesa is a second round pick who, I mean, kind of has never
He's
been a rotational guy that flashes every now and then, but I can't say he's ever been that great.
He'll have a fun game or two.
Yeah, and so I agree with George's point. I mean, like, and I've been somewhat critical of Bean over the last few months, mainly on the defensive side. I brought it up. This is maybe the second or third iteration of transforming the defensive line again. But
yeah,
but it's the fact that they did it again. They're not just saying, screw it, let him score 35. We'll try to, you know, break records and score 40 because I hear that all the time. Like,
that's not sustainable.
Yeah, that's not sustainable either. But I like the additions they made. They add a corner in Max Harrison who has that elite trait physically that you don't often find at the end of round one with his speed. You've already seen it early in camp that is helping him make some mistakes, allow him to kind of learn on the fly a little bit. He can make up for it. TJ Sanders, that South Carolina defensive line was incredible last year. They put teams on their butts all the time. Sanders was a big part of that, and he was kind of the last defensive tackle of that class that had the pass rushing upside plus the run defense. You had Deion Walker, who if that back issue is situated and he has actually slimmed down to play faster, they may have gotten a second round kind of guy in the fourth round.
Like, look out. The guy has top-end talent to him.
But they've got to hit, and that's why I say it all the time. I want to keep the expectations somewhat leveled, but this is where, Bishop, you need to be a good safety. I'm not saying great, a good safety this year. Sanders and Harrison need to be solid to good contributors this year. If not, we're going to be having the same conversation that we've had for the last few years of, yeah, they really don't have that guy on defense. Do we need to trade every first-round pick to go get a disgruntled Trey Hendrickson or hope that another pass rusher becomes available, even though none of them really did except for Hendrickson?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like those hopes all kind of evaporated. Garrett, we all thought around Super Bowl week, was never playing for Cleveland again.
Right.
And for most of the offseason, he's been paid by Cleveland. Max Crosby, the same thing. And that's the thing, too. You look at guys like Max Crosby. You can get elite pass rushers later in the draft. He's a fourth-round pick, and in year one, he had double-digit sacks for the then Oakland Raiders. So I also look at even guys like Javon Salmon. Does he maybe take a step forward, not to be, again, the 10 to 15 guy, but can he rack up 5-6 sacks? This team does not finish plays in terms of the defensive line all that often. They really don't. They can get in there, they don't finish the play.
But what saves them? It's the turnovers.
The turnovers. But if you can mesh the two, I say it all the time, they will go to the – their quarterback is too talented. They're solid enough on offense. They have a great offensive line. If you just get a top 15 defense that can finish plays, has a guy that can get in there, you're going to the Super Bowl.
You know what's kind of
sick and
twisted?
But they have run into that wall.
It's sick and twisted. I've been looking at these turnover stats. Now that I thought about it, I went into a little bit of a deep dive on it. Like, I look up the rankings for them each of the years that Sean McDermott's been here. The lowest they ever got to was in 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2020, they've been never lower than 4. Last year, they get a turnover in all but one game in the regular season.
Yeah.
The LA Rams game. Which the block punt effectively ends up being more crucial than you'd ever think.
Yep.
There's only one other game that they don't have a turnover, and that's Denver. Denver's the one game where they're just like they don't need it.
Yeah.
They're on a different class.
Denver scores early.
Here's the sickening part. They won the turnover battle against Kansas City, 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they still lost.
They still lost.
Like, oh, can we not deal with that? I am perfectly fine if they avoid Kansas City in the playoffs this year. Please, thank you, you're welcome. I probably speak for a lot of people at this point. Hello?
But I'd be happy to avoid Kansas City. I'd be cool with it, but...
They're probably inevitable.
It's why I push for the one seed, though, so the divisional round isn't against somebody like Cincinnati, Baltimore, or Kansas City. You will get the worst remaining playoff team. That's great. But yeah, when I look at teams like Kansas City, they have guys that finish games. Chris Jones helps them, yes, but their secondary has been great for them, and specifically great for them. They have been awesome when they leave. L'Jarius Sneed goes to Tennessee. He's not the same L'Jarius Sneed.
He's not the same player. They draft McDuffie.
Mm-hmm. They draft McDuffie.
Fills right in. Drew Tranquil does a lot for them at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So they have... It seems like one on every level. The Bills seem like they have one on every level, except the front.
I think they have a guy that can do that in two of the three levels, but it may be the most important one that they don't. And that's where...
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, I get excited that you've added TJ Sanders, and you've added enough that maybe Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau can have pop-off seasons. But to George's point, I mean, we've been there, we've been down this road before of early draft picks on defense, assuming they're going to play a big role, hoping they play a big role, and that kind of feeling falling flat on its face. 803-0550, the number to call. We've had our first scrimmage at Bills camp. We'll touch on that after we come back. You're listening to WGR.
Ed Oliver is a good player. Daquan Jones is a good player. They added Larry Ogunjobi. They did work. They said, look, we need to do work on this part of the team. Let's do work. It also will help pass the defensive line if Milano can actually stay healthy for a whole year, because he's very good if he can stay healthy. You hope that Bosa is a big improvement. Obviously, they want the defense to be better and less dependent on turnovers. And if the turnovers come, then that's it.
Friend of the show, Aaron Schatz there with Mina Kimes. Talking the additions to the Bills' defense, it is the offense gets all the headlines, the wide receivers and such.
Yep.
Yes. But ultimately, the Bills' seasons, even with ultimately Josh Allen having the ball at the end of the games to win the games, kind of has come down to the defense.
You need to
and
be
their inability
better.
To make stops. And, you know, looking back to Derek through their draft history, by the way, I haven't brought up rookie Landon Jackson, who was picked before
right.
Deion Walker. My apologies. But you look back, I mean, you didn't really get much of a contribution from Cole Bishop due to
Correct.
Injuries and not being able to catch up. Dwayne Carter as well picked up a wrist injury. He seemed to be coming on for like two games. Didn't get much from him. Salmon's a fifth-round pick. You go then to 2023. Dorian Williams is a nice backup off the ball linebacker, maybe the future replacement for Matt Milano. He led the team in tackles, last year. That's good. Kyir Elam, a complete miss in round one. Complete miss. Bernard has been a hit, absolutely, and Benford's been a hit, absolutely. But then Rousseau, good, not great. Boogie Basham, not very good, and that was your second-round pick.
Matter of fact, dreadful.
Yeah, AJ Bonessa, simply not good enough. A good rotational player, but as a second-round pick and your first pick of the 20 draft, you'd wanted more. And then maybe the player that, honestly, I am maybe the most frustrated at because he was such an early pick and the last early pick the Bills have had in the first round, Ed Oliver.
Also because of his early returns. He gets that contract extension because he earned it.
He earned it.
And
he had a 9-sack season.
He has shown that he can do it. But now it seems like, do you need assistance? Like, do you need someone next to you to help you unlock yourself again?
And in reality, when I pick a guy in the top 10, you should be the guy giving everyone assistance. You're the guy that makes everyone look better. Look at the Eagles. Their big disruptor was their early pick in Jalen Carter.
Yep.
Everyone else looks very good around him, but it's because Carter looks like he might be a future defensive player of the year at defensive tackle.
Right.
He looks unbelievable.
So it is tough. Like, I still believe in Ed Oliver. But now it is, I have to change that style of belief.
Yep.
And adding more to the position is, I wouldn't say it's an indictment on him, but it doesn't look great.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he should be a fantastic player. He has shown it. And quite honestly, in the Kansas City game, he's one of the few guys on defense I actually trusted.
Yeah, funny enough, the other guy you maybe should have trusted, and we've brought this up, Rousseau, maybe has his worst game as a pro. Just awful at setting the edge and kind of was less than a non-factor but a genuine hindrance to them.
Yeah,
they really hurt them. Did mention before the break, we have our first scuffle at Bills camp, although it is kind of just between two guys, Alec Anderson and Hayden Harris. This is coming from Thad Brown. A couple of punches thrown, didn't last long. Won't be a camp without Anderson getting involved in something after a play. That is sort of his job, right? Like as like the sixth offensive lineman, you're kind of just there to cause problems for the defense. That's your whole job, and he does it so well.
It's so weird. Yeah, like, but it also makes so much sense for the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he does have that nasty streak to him.
Yeah.
And offensive linemen in defensive linemen in particular, you are hitting each other every play. The first scuffle to break out typically should be in the trenches.
Oh, it absolutely should be.
Because typically should be. Sometimes
they're
it's
probably
not.
The players more than anyone that go, I can't wait to hit anybody else. Anybody else.
Yes. Which is why those joint practices are oftentimes like they're a big deal because it's like, oh my God, I could hit somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Because you're right. It's every single play. And then even without
like
pads.
Like if I'm Connor McGovern, I'm like, Ed, can we stop meeting like this? Like,
yeah, I can understand where it gets tiresome.
It gets tiresome. DBs and wide receivers, the same thing. You are every single play. And, you know, if social media were to tell us anything about both of those positions, they're also like the loudest talkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they should be. 803-0550, the number to call. Thomas up next. Thomas, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, I can't wait to get done with the work week and focus on a little bit of football as we get closer to the season.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah, I caught the end of the kind of the rookie discussion and these draft picks, especially the top draft picks and how they impact the team. I think at least I caught the end of the conversation, how they impact the team right away. I wonder how much of that really, and I'm not in the locker room. I'm not coaching the team, so I'm not trying to be that hard on these guys. But how much of that is the coaching staff kind of breaking them in? When I look around the league, some of these other guys, they get them, okay, first-round picks, and they just put them in, you know, high snap counts, high downs, and they put them in and they ride with it. You know, I think about like Harrison in Arizona. He probably struggled a little bit, and you'd have to compare the snap counts. But I wonder, compared to our guy Coleman, how many plays did they play versus each other? And then when they struggle, do they leave them in there? Because I feel like, and it might not be McDermott, but McDermott pulls back on that snap count when a guy's a rookie. I think about Kincaid too. You know, mm-hmm. He showed highlights, and then it's like, oh well, then next thing you know, he's not out there for, you know, a day or two, and you're like, what happened to this guy? And like you're saying about some of those defensive players, Oliver, Epinesa is one that he I don't really know. I'd have to look at the stats. You guys know him better than me. How much did he do his rookie year? And then why didn't he play more to break it into the league faster? I don't know. And then get your guys' thoughts on that. Because I think about like the Eagles, right? I know he's a hell of a player, but Dejon played a ton right from the get-go, right? From the immediate impact. And I'm not saying that our guy, Bishop, was at all on that same level. And I believe that I'm remembering that there was an injury at Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But do we hold back our guys and integrate them into the league slower than other teams? And is that the player or is that the coaching style of, hey, I'm going to put this guy out there every down and he's going to mess up and we're going to be okay with it?
Yeah, Thomas, thanks for the call. That's been something I think people have brought up for a long time with the Bills is, do they slow play their rookies? I think the last few years, the answer would be no. Osiris Torrance has started every game at right guard since coming into the league. Keon Coleman was one of their starting receivers and then eventually got injured. But he also wasn't helping them for a little while there when, you know, guys like Khalil Shakir went down. They had to make adjustments and stuff like that. Epinesa's
Christian Benford raced.
Benford started
ahead of the pecking order, yeah, even.
As a sixth-round pick, he got right in there. The last few years, they have absolutely leaned more on rookies. Would help them in the early years of Allen's ascension. They had a bit of an older team in the sense of it was, you know, elder statesmen. Hyde and Poyer were working. Trey White was already there. Matt Milano was already there. But Edmonds as well, when he came in his rookie year, was, yes, their starting middle linebacker day one. They have slow played some of them. I don't disagree with that. And one of them, the guy you brought up, is Epinesa. Epinesa effectively had a redshirt year to get to a better playing weight. They really kind of changed how he played from when he was at Iowa. So his first 2 years, he only has 2.5 sacks total. That's it for through 2 years. Then he's kind of found his mold now, which is about a 6-sack guy. He's had 6.5, 6.5, 6.
He's a rotational piece that, yeah, it seems like he is who he is at this point of. He's going to give you a solid set of production throughout the season. And that's going to be pretty much it. It's kind of funny, like, you know, starting, quote unquote, with a rotational defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
In 5 years, he's started 17 games. Last year, it was 13 of them. And that's more or less, you're playing the first snap, but snap count is going to matter more than, yep, playing the first snap, for example, there. But I think it's also, there was a little bit more hope around Epinesa because of what he did in 2023, which was he had several bat downs at the line. He started to really show a proficiency for that, and even came away with two interceptions and a pick six against Washington.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, maybe this guy can have a little bit more of these impact plays. We're seeing it right now. And last year, it's just, you know, more of the same of you're going to get something solid out of him, but not spectacular. And is solid, not spectacular, more acceptable when it comes to a second-round pick? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But you should be able to hit from anywhere in the draft, no matter who you are as a general manager. We see it all the time. You mentioned Max Crosby. Trey Hendrickson was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Like, and the guy leads the league in sacks the last 2 years. Like, this is not an accident. It's just players are who they are sometimes.
And I think with that, with
and
the Bills.
I think AJ is, he's a safe pick.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with the higher floor, lower ceiling type. You need players like that on your roster. It is, what does the rest of the roster look like? How can I fill it out? And at defensive end in particular, they have struggled at finding the game breaker.
Because it feels like that's where they've gone. They've gone safe guys, not going to take too many risks early. Because I think that has changed. The problem is now they've gone for more boom-bust type players. That's where you do get Keon Coleman. And even to a certain extent, like Isaac Dalton Kincaid, just looking at the offense, they're more boom-bust. In the first few drafts, though, outside of Josh Allen, it was a lot of safer picks. Not every one of them, but a lot of them.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where, you know, Ed Oliver, yeah, he's the second best D tackle outside of Quinn and Williams. You take him, right? Like, just
he's the player work. Fell to you. Okay,
he's going to work.
Twist my arm.
But Rousseau, Basham, Epinesa, all relatively high floor, but potentially low ceilings, especially Basham and Epinesa. I mean, I remember sitting there with that draft after, you know, what would that have been, that Friday, the rounds 2 and 3, and just kind of sitting there going, like, everyone sort of knew neither player would break out. That they were going to be probably pieces on your roster, but that there was no high-end potential. Rousseau has a bit of high-end potential, but that is where I get excited for this draft class. It felt like their three of their first four picks were all high-potential guys. Max Harrison, we brought it up a lot. He has that elite physical trait that you just don't often find at the end of round one, his breakaway speed. He could be a guy that, knowing this Bills team gets turnovers pretty regularly, they stay around where they have been the last few years in terms of total takeaways. He could play a huge part of that. TJ Sanders, the last D tackle of this class that is perceived to have any real pop as a pass rusher. There is considered a pretty hefty ceiling for him. Deion Walker absolutely is that. 6'7". If he slims down, you find out about the back injury, there might be a really special player in there for them.
A good investment to make.
They got high potential players there. Even going back to last year, I mentioned it. Keon Coleman is a high potential player. Maybe the floor isn't great, and maybe he never really reaches that potential. That's why it's potential and not, you know, what they are. It's why he was, you know, later on in the first round, or well, actually second round. And then Bishop. We talked about his measurables last year or yesterday. 6'2", 200 pounds, runs a 4.45. He might be a real problem on this Bills defense. But for right now, we don't know. He's a high potential guy. I'm glad they've gone towards that route because I think it has hurt them in the last few years of going the safer, high floor guys. We know they're going to be NFL players, but we don't really know past that. I think it's really hurt their pass rush. It's also why they've had to go constantly into the offseason trying to make a big swing on the defensive line. Von Miller maybe being like the most obvious one. Now, again, that kind of worked, but then he got hurt. That was going
to
work.
That was going to be the we've got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's pretty much where it was that, yeah, we're going to pay a premium for him, but we know what we're getting, which is still top end type player for at least a couple of years. Because the mindset was, this is the last hurrah with this core.
Yep, and he was going to be that last piece to get you over the hump, but he tears his ACL in Detroit.
Oh, my God.
803-0550, the number to call. Chris, we'll get to you here in our final segment coming up. If you can hang on, this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Chris is up next. Chris, we've only got a few minutes here.
I'll make it quick. You guys were just talking about FNS and some of the other defensive ends with the Bills. Tell me if I'm wrong. You know, I'll admit it. I think Rousseau has been overhyped. I think he's kind of like an also ran. He's a decent athlete. He'll give you the 4, 5, 6 sacks. I wouldn't have been surprised if they didn't re-sign him. I think he's kind of an overhyped defensive end. It's in the defensive end position with the Bills kind of seems like when Kelly retired, how many quarterbacks did we bring in here until we finally got Josh Allen? It's like when Bruce Smith, and again, to find him, that's like a, generational player, but it seems like they've been chasing the defensive end position forever too as well. And they're throwing multiple players thinking that one of them is going to rise to the top. I wasn't thrilled about the Von Miller signing. I was kind of meh about, Bosa. But I don't know. What's your thought on that?
Appreciate it, Chris. And thanks for keeping that quick. We got about 2 minutes to let this roll here. Greg Rousseau, the production does have to improve. I would agree with you there. However, I do look at it as also the entirety of the regime. Brandon Bean has had a hard time getting that impact defensive end. The one that was going to work tore his knee up in Detroit. Von Miller was going to be that guy, and he was looking like that guy the minute that he signed with Buffalo. He was still keeping up his top-tier production. Greg Rousseau, he did look like he was going to start benefiting from Miller in 2022.
He was benefiting,
He was already at 8 sacks. He had 8 sacks in the year. He had 8 sacks last year. Step it up. It's you just got your extension. They're paying you for what you can do, not for what you are. And I would imagine this is going to be, I would hope you get an ascension here from him and a next step, because the caller's right. Like, there is something that is missing.
Oh, yeah. I think Rousseau, though, might be properly rated. I think Bills fans, we talk about him a lot because he's our player, but
right.
I think nationally he's not really well known. I will say, though, his sacks, he's been around 8 when he plays a full season, 23, not so much. But last year, 8 sacks, his QB pressures went up 10 from his season best the year prior to 35. He's top 25 in most pass rushing categories with an overall weak supporting cast on the defensive line that is not nearly as consistent as he is. We'll see now, though, with the additions. He, I think, is the guy that maybe could take advantage the most.
And that'll do it for us here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. Joe Kelly producing. And guess what? We've got Sabres Live coming up next here on WGR.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.